Okay, we're going to start with the Mishnah and Pirkei Avot. I want to talk today about the idea of truth and falseness, like emet and sheker. And we'll study together, and there's a little bit of a chidush at the end, because this all started from Rav Mertzbach gives a little dvar halach at the end of davening. And so he's on halachot of emet and sheker. Okay, and so everybody here with me? Okay, he's on the halachot. he's on the halachot of emet and sheker. And so, like, when you go through the halachot, then it becomes sort of nitty gritty, because he's like, and this is not to fault him at all. I love him and respect him, really do. But it's like, so are you allowed? So today discussed. You know, the idea of shiduchim, and when you're allowed to lie and when you're not allowed to lie. And a few days before, it was like, are you allowed to write fragile or like glass on the outside of a package if it's not glass, but you want them, but you want the people to take, you know, to care for it, like just things like that. And the whole, how should we say this?
Fragile. You can write. I don't know those answers. When's this shear? When does he do this?
He want to know the answers. He does it after the
especially that first one.
What do you mean, shiduchim?
Shiduchim.
Yeah. Are we allowed to lie for shiduch?
Are we allowed to? Our students that the pikuach doesn't allow it.
Yes.
I have to ask the pikuach.
Exactly right.
If I'm not going to, and I'm just going to discuss it as a staff.
Correct. Are you allowed to? Right. And the whole nature of the discussion, like, I don't know, sort of made me uncomfortable. I don't like nitty gritty. Am I allowed to lie about this? I'll explain to you why in general. Like, there's nothing wrong with halachot. There are accurate halachot, of course. You know, and his point was you could write fragile because nobody really thinks that you mean that there's glass in it. That's what he said. He said, like, if it's assumed, like, if it's a broader understanding, if people in general say these things, even though they're not 100% true, he felt that it was appropriate that you're allowed to say the untruth, because the untruth is, I don't remember the exact example. I think the example is
expected.
What?
The untruth is expected.
In a way. But that just bothered me even more. Well, you know, the reason the untruth is expected is because people lie, but it's just me. Okay? I'm sorry?
No, like, fragile is a more general word that could mean a lot of things, whether it's glass is very specific. So.
Right, but you'd write glass inside because if somebody then might care and actually not throw it. You know what I'm saying? But if you just wrote fragile, they would totally ignore you. Right, you know, I think that was the assumption of the nail. Anyway, so we're going to start with I'm going to talk about this idea of Emet and Sheker vis-a-vis Balak, or Parshat Balak and Bilam. I'm going to ask the question, was Bilam a truthful person or not? Okay? And we're going to start with a Mishnah, a very well-known Mishnah towards the end of Pirkei Avot. Perek Hey, Mishnah Yutet. Says the Mishnah, Kol mish yesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu, anyone who has these three attributes, mitamidav shel Avraham Avinu. He is a student of Avraham Avinu. Ushlosha dvarim acherim, if you have three other attributes, i.e. the opposite attributes, mitamidav shel Bil'am harasha, then you're a student of Bil'am. Okay? What are the three things? Ayin tova, good eye. What does good eye mean? And it's not a baseball term.
Think and keep positive.
Right. You know, half glass, half full. Yeah. Ruach nemucha.
Easy spirit.
Humility.
Depressed.
No. Right. Humility. A low spirit. The nefesh shfala. Okay. Nefesh shfala means you're not. Your nefesh speaks about the life force. You don't have great needs. Okay, meaning your life force, meaning nefesh shfala, means poresh b'ta'avot ha'olam, right? You're a very simple person. You have simple needs. You don't need fancy coffee. You're happy with you're happy with
elite.
Instant what
elite.
With elite, right? If you're happy with the elite, that's a nefesh shfala, right? You know what I'm saying? So those are the three attributes. Okay, ayin tova, ruach nemucha, nefesh shfala, humility, and also that it is true. It's a truism about us, like, how spoiled are we? How much do we need? I was talking to our son last night, who's down near Eilat. I said, is it hot all the time and you're just boiling all the time down there, or you just get used to it? And he said both. He said, it's boiling all the time and you just kind of get used to it. We're like, you know, people live like this without air conditioning, but we can't imagine it. I don't know. Can we? Can you imagine? Like,
no.
But they did. Throughout most of human history, they did. You know, somehow they survived. Okay. What?
Chaim ben Pinchas.
Okay. All of those things. If you have those things, you're mitamidav shel Avraham Avinu. You're students of Abraham. But ayin ra'a, bad eye. It's not ayin hara. Ayin ra'a. You always see things in a negative light. You're looking for the problem. Ruach gvoha, haughtiness. V'nefesh rechava.
High maintenance.
High maintenance, that's a great word. Ba'al ta'ava. You need, you know,
stuff.
Mitamidav shel Bil'am HaRasha. Those are the students of Bil'am HaRasha. It's very interesting that...
Very extreme.
What?
It's very extreme.
Why?
Like you're this... Most people somewhere between that?
Yeah, obviously, right. But I'm thinking, if you have the trifecta of you're haughty, you need covered, you need to be you need to be pampered, and you always see the bad in other people. What? Those three together are not a good combination. Okay. Okay, so what's the difference between the two, other than what we just said? Tamidav shel Avraham Avinu ochlim ba'olam hazeh. The students of Avraham Avinu, they consume in this world, they function in this world, but they are nochel. They are inheriting, they're placing their portion, they're preparing their portion in Olam Haba.
Nochel with a
chet. Shneamar, as it says, Lahanchil ohava yesh v'otzrotehem amale. Lahanchil, how do you translate Lahanchil? Nachala. To establish an inheritance for those who love me. Yesh. Just so you know, this pasuk la'anchil ohava yesh is a very famous pasuk. It's also the last. It's mentioned the last sugya in Shas. Yesh is 310. It's considered the otzrot of the Torah la'anchil ohava. Anyway, aval tamidav shel Bil'am HaRasha, the students of Bil'am yorshim gehinom, they inherit hell. V'yordim le'be'er shachat, and they descend to the depths. To the emar va'ata Elohim teridim le'be'er shachat anshei damim u'mirma. Lo yechetzu yemehim v'ani eftach bach. Let's translate that pasuk because it's important. V'ata Elohim, and you God, toridim lebe'er shachat. Okay? Send them down to the be'er shachat, to the pit of destruction. Anshe, people of, damim,
blood,
mirma,
trickery,
lo yechetzu yemehim, right? They should not complete their days, v'ani eftach bach, and I will have faith in you. So interesting, meaning this Mishnah could have picked any pasuk it wanted. Okay, but it talked about the students of Bil'am HaRasha are Anshei Damim U'Mirma, men of blood and deception. Those are the students of Bil'am HaRasha. Someone who is always looking at the negative, is out for himself, wants his kavod, and wants to be treated in the right way. Okay, those are people of Damim U'Mirma, blood and deception. Very interesting to me. What? I would disagree, because for everything, well, it's hard to say.
They're driven by ideology.
Right, they're driven by radical hatred.
They're big palaces, where they're telling the people one thing and another thing is happening.
It's interesting. Arafat robbed his people of like $300 million or $1 billion, but they say at the very end, like, how did he live? Like, his wife took all his money and he gave it to his kids, but how did he live at the very end? They say they're very simply in this like room or whatever. It is very interesting. You know, I don't know. But he's radical. I don't need to extol terrorists. Anyway, let's go to Parshat. So Parshat Balak. So I want to ask the question: is Bil'am honest or not? It says in the pasuk. The reason I brought this pasuk is it says Anshei Damim Mir Mirma, people of blood and deception.
That's pretty.
What?
Extreme. No, it's Bil'am doesn't kill anyone overtly.
Overtly. Right. That's exactly my point. I started by talking about emet and sheker, by truth and falseness, by telling truths. Is a person, Bil'am, a person of falseness or a person of truth? Let's look. We're going to do a little skira of the entire parasha. Start at perek kaf bet. Perek kaf bet pasuk hei. We're going to read a lot of pasukim. Perek kaf bet pasuk hei. So we know the story. Balak, the king of Moab, begins to freak out. Okay? And look at the Jews coming, and they're swarming, and we're all in danger. We got to do something about it. But obviously we can't fight with them, because everybody who fights with them gets destroyed. So he wants to hire Bil'am in order to curse them. Vayishlach malachim Bil'am ben Beor v'Torah asher l'nahar eretz b'nei amo likro lo. He sent him a message saying, Lemor, hinei am yatza mimitzrayim, hinei kisa et ein haaretz, Who Yoshev Mimudi? This nation, he has kisa, he's covered the eye of the land, and he's sitting opposite me. Do you like that imagery? Kisa Tein Haaretz, what does it sound like?
Sounds sounds like locusts.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like a swarm of locusts. Like this plague is descending upon us. I don't know what to do. Riata. And now, please curse them for me, this nation, because they are greater than me. Maybe I will hit them and expel them from the land. I know that which you bless is blessed, and that which you curse is cursed. By the way, you see that there's a lot of connections, just as an aside, between Bilam and Avraham Avinu.
Yes. Okay.
You see it?
I was thinking of Balak and Paro.
Yeah.
Why Paro?
That the nations getting numerous
swarthing.
Do you see what I see in Avraham Avinu here? What do you see?
Yeah.
No, that's interesting.
Hashem tells him to go to Eretz Canaan, he says, and whoever curses you, I will curse.
Right, here it says, very similar language. It's also like roots language,
no? Has root?
Sure.
Everything you do, it's like that passive, whatever.
Oh, I understand what you're saying, but here is a really direct. Like, and there's also other connections. We're going to see another connection when he does his donkey.
Yeah.
You remember, like, Avraham and so there's real connections between Avraham and Bilam.
Did Balak think that they were here permanently?
That who? That they were going to attack. What's interesting is
because we all know that they were just passing through because the only way to Israel, but maybe Balak.
Well, what do we know about the Jews' relationship to Moab, which is the greatest irony? What do we know about our relationship to Moab at the time? Well, now we're not allowed to marry them. But what do we know about in the Midbar? What do we know about our connection to the Eretz Moab?
That they didn't offer food and drink.
They did not offer food and drink. But what about our aggressiveness towards them?
We went around them,
and we learned later, like Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were forbidden from attacking Moab and Edom.
Right.
So the irony here is that Balak Melech Moab feels totally threatened. They're going to overcome me, and if he had done nothing, what would have happened?
Nothing.
But in the end, he instigates this. We know the end of the story. He instigates the sinfulness, and then they engage in the idolatry, and it really almost destroys the Jewish people. And then what did God say?
No marrying.
Wipe them out. Right. Destroy Moab. Like, just leave well enough alone. No, you can't leave well enough alone. It's a story of human history.
He's insecure.
What?
He's insecure.
I don't think of that way. Okay.
Yes, I'm saying he's insecure. He's afraid that
he's literally insecure.
Right. No, he thinks that
why didn't the Jews just do the following?
Even if he sees them sitting there not doing anything, maybe he just doesn't want them to be a larger nation than his.
Do you think Moshe Rabbeinu sent him a note saying, "Hey, by the way, we're passing through. We have no negative intentions. Just FYI."
I have to go back and see.
Or do you think Moshe didn't say anything? I think it would have been better if he had said something.
It sounds like he didn't say anything.
Right. Sounds like they're amassing at his border. Although interestingly, Bezalel always told. Bezalel says so interestingly. He says at the end of the parsha, like it says, at the very last pasuk of the last parsha, "Vayisu b'nei Yisrael, vayachanu be'arvot Moab, me'ever le'Yarden Yerecho." Okay, where are they camped? Me'ever the Yarden Yerecho. Are both Moab, the plains of Moab. Where is that? Where is it?
On the other side of the...
Geographically.
Jordan?
Right. It's in Jordan. Me'ever the Yarden Yerecho. Okay? Bezalel said that. That's my favorite part of this pasuk. He says because that's the last time they're going to move until they go into Eretz Canaan. They're done. Right, the rest of the, like, Balak, Pinchas, Matot, Maaseh, and then all the Sefer Devarim, nothing happens. So where are they? Think about where they are. Moab is south of them, not north of them. They're in the plains of Moab. They're, what are they doing, basically?
They're waiting.
They're ready to go. You know what I'm saying? They're on their way in. And
does
comes
anybody know necessarily that that's where they're headed?
To the promised land? Moshe did say it to Edom. He sent messages to Edom.
Okay, it's not clear that Edom would have communicated such messages to Moab, is it?
I mean, if they wanted to attack, wouldn't they have? They went around Moab. They went around. Uh-huh. They specifically, he had
maybe
to have
they were
known.
Saving them for next.
What? You mean surround them and then, 1 second.
Right, they're casing them. They're just kind of, they're in the south, and then they're in the east, and then they're in the north. They're like...
ויחנו מעבר ארנון ומדברס מגבול המורי, כי ארנון גבול מואב, בין מואב ובין המורי.
Yeah, there are gvul moab here, gvul moab there. It's the last day moab.
You think that he didn't know? It could be he didn't know. You're right, I don't know, it's hard to know. Okay, Sichon melech ha'emori, he asked to go through. Moshe Rabbeinu always asked to go through. They want the peaceful way. I don't know. It's interesting. They're done. They're encamped. If you think about it, they're in Arbot Moab. They're facing east. They're facing, west. They're on their way in. And now comes Balak, and he's like freaking out. Uh-huh. All right. Vayachu ziknei Moab, ziknei Midian, uksamim biadam, vayavo bilam, vayadabru edav divrei Balak. So the people, they came and they said, would you do us a favor and curse the Jewish people? Vayomar alehem, linufo alayla, vashivoti etchem davar, kasher yidaber Hashem elai. Stay here, and I'll tell you whatever God says. Vayishvu sarei Moab im Bilam. Okay? They stayed. Vayavar alim bel Bilam, vayomer, mi ha'enashim ha'ele imach. Who are these people? Everyone see where I am? Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Bilam ha'elohim, Balak ben Tzippor, melech Moab shalach elai. Balak sent me this message. Hine ha'am ha'yotzei mimitzayim, vayichas etein ha'aretz. Ata lecha kavali oto, ulai uchali lachen bo begirashtiv. And this nation is here, I want to kick them out. Vayomer Elohim el Bilam, lo telech imahem, lo te'or ta'am ki baruchu. No, can't go, you can't curse them. What does Bilam say? Vayakam Bilam baboker, vayomer el sarei Balak. I'm a pasuk yudimah. Lechu el artzechem. Go home. Ki me'en Hashem letiti lahaloch imachem. Because God did not want to let me go with you. Did he lie?
Yeah, but
he
didn't say.
Don't go.
God, yeah, but God said,
Did he lie?
He left out some information.
He left, yeah.
This is going to be our theme. Did he lie?
He didn't give all the information.
Either.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's look what happens. Interestingly, he didn't give all the information. So we'll see what happens. From what we see happens next, we're going to understand what Rashi said. Vayakumu sarei Moab. Vayavo el Bilak, Balak. Vayamu me'en Bilam haloch imanu. Me'en did not want, Bilam didn't want to go with us. Vayosef od Balak shaloch sarim babim benichbadim me'ele.
Wait a minute, but the sarim are also not entirely truthful to Balak. If you're going to say that Bilam is not entirely truthful by leaving out the part that the Jewish people are blessed, then you have to say that the sarim are not entirely truthful by saying that Bilam mentioned that the reason he's not going is because God won't allow him to go. Not that Bilam.
What did he say? Me'en Hashem l'titi lahaloch imachem.
God refuses to allow me to go with you.
Okay.
How does that
How are they understanding?
Balak reads it that it's with us, but he won't go with us, but he'll go with more.
Well, shouldn't he have said? Look at Rashi on Yud Gimel. Lahaloch imachem, ela im sarim gdolim mikem.
It's Chazal reading into it. Chazal taking this idea of the students of Bilam and superimposing it on the text.
Read Rashi, Lamadnu Shirucho Gavoa.
Okay.
We learned in the Mishnah that he's haughty. V'lo ratza legalot shehu birshoto shel makom. He didn't want it to reveal that he is in the possession of God. Ela b'lashon gasut. Lefikach v'yasef od Balak. Meaning, Balak is not an idiot. What if Bilam had come along and said, listen, it's not going to happen. I can't go with you. This whole cursing thing is a bad idea. You know, I bless you. Yivarechecha Hashem. The blessings of God should be upon you. But leave him alone. If he had said that. No, he's the prophet. He's a prophet. He lives in another country. He's a foreign prophet. Okay? They sent a message to whatever. Would Balak have continued to send messengers? Shaloach sarim rabim benichbadim ne'ele. Would he have sent a more impressive delegation or not?
Maybe he felt that if he wasn't, maybe he would have felt that if I sent someone important enough, I could convince him.
That's one possibility. But it makes more sense, according to Chazal, and I actually think Chazal, like, you know, some years you don't seem to find it compelling, but I think
I think it's unfair.
What?
I mean, I think it's...
Say it.
Okay, so I think
I know what you think.
It's akin to reading in negativity to Esav also.
Right. There's an archetype in Chazal.
They come with a certain rule, a certain historical truth, a certain something, and then they superimpose it on
See, I don't see that here. First of all, Bilam is a bad guy.
Here
you think he's not a bad guy?
No, I see it here more than
right.
In Esav.
Okay, correct.
You know.
Correct. Okay. Bilam, right? Who's the descendant of Bilam? We don't know. Bilam is just a biblical character. He's an archetype.
And yet Chazal feels the need to vilify him.
Okay. Well, hold on one second. Okay.
It's not so clear.
If he said, Me'en Hashem l'titi la'lochim achem, God won't let me go. If he had said no, what happens when Balak sends the next delegation with more gifts and better ministers? What does Bilam do?
Human.
What does Bilam do?
He says, okay.
Right. So isn't that the best proof that Chazal are right in this case?
Fair.
Yes.
No. Because in Yudchet, Vayan Bilam Vayomer Lav De Balak, Imi Teni Balak Melo Beito Kesef Ezahav La'uchal La'abor Et Piyashem.
That's right. And if you would buy me a Porsche and a Ferrari and there was a guy in my room serving me caviar for breakfast, I will not do anything that God tells me not to do. I'm just saying. You don't hear that?
I didn't say
how could you not hear that?
Like
where did Melo Beito Kesef Ezahav come from?
Because
do people talk like that?
I think people talk like that. Excuse me. Does Achashverosh say to Esther, you know, tell me what you want, and Chatzi HaMalkut I'll give you? Of course people talk like that.
What's it going to take for me to get you to do this?
That's right. I don't know. I see Chazal. I'm taking Chazal's side on this one. I really am. I think it's very convincing.
I'm not saying there's something wrong with it. I'm just saying that there is another way to read it.
Me'en Hashem l'titi lahaloch imachem. So that's always the question. Even when you see it, God did not allow me to go with you. So you just say, God is not allowing me to go.
With you.
Or you're saying, God's not allowing me to go with you. Really? Two guys and a donkey? Really? That's how you come to me? Is really important? If this was important to Balak Melech Moab, he would make sure of finding a way to making sure that to tell me that it's important. But, and until that time, and by the way, there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. As we speak, the president of India is here in Israel visiting. This is a really big deal. It's a really, really, really big deal.
Because?
India has 1.3 billion people.
And therefore?
It's one of the three most important. It's a nuclear country. It is incredible, incredible economic power.
It's one of the BRIC.
Brick.
What is it?
Countries.
Brazil, Russia, India, China.
These are the countries that are considered the movers and shakers in the global economy.
Correct. Okay. It is a really, really big deal. And do we know how we know it's a big deal?
Because Netanyahu talks about yoga.
Because he's accompanying him for 3 days.
Netanyahu.
An honor given to a U.S. president.
Correct. That's exactly the point. Netanyahu went to meet him at the airport, and is staying with him the entire time. Because you show kavod. What? What did he say?
It could be suffocating after a while.
Probably is suffocating after a while. I don't think so. I think they know exactly, like, you know what I'm saying?
But I think there are also cultural norms to all these.
Correct.
Things. So, yeah.
That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. That's the game. So that on the one hand, I don't know anything about the Indian president. I have no idea. Right, so he could be, but we know other presidents who they have this need to be sucked up to. Just that's most important thing to them, right? And how do we view that? Not in the most positive of lights. We don't see that as, you know, the most important thing. You know, and it seems that Bilam has that trait, and that's exactly what Chazal talked about. He talked about this idea of what do we talk about? Ruach gvoha. Right? I just have this high, I need my ego to be filled at all times.
He did run for president.
What?
I mean, when you're in a position of power, it happens.
Yeah, no, I'll get back to him.
Okay.
I will get back to him. Okay. I don't only have bad things to say. Anyway. So did Bilam technically lie?
He withheld.
No, he did not lie. So what's interesting, we're going to see over and over again, Bilam is a person who is insisting that he's telling the truth. He didn't lie. Okay? So he sent more messengers, and then he decides, I'm going to skip a little bit and then come back. Okay? Bilam decides to go. Skip to, we're skipping the story of the donkey, the funny story of the donkey. Donkey opening his mouth. Here we are. I'm trying to find where I am. Here we are. What happens? The three curses. Parak Chaf Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. So he tries to curse him one time. What happens? Doesn't work. First time. He blesses him. Parak Chaf Gimel, chapter 23, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Balak El Bilam. Me asitali. What have you done to me? I hire you to curse my enemies. And what have you done? You bless them. Vayan Vayomar. He answered and he said, Hello. Et asher yasem Hashem b'fi, oto eshmor ledaber.
But that's what he said in the beginning. He said, he'll only do what Hashem tells him to.
Where does he say that?
Where we were just a minute ago.
No, God told him that. He did say that. One second.
No.
He said it when they first meet. Right. Good. Next one. Again, it happens the second time. I'm going to skip. Okay. Kaf Gimel Pasuk, Kaf Hei. The second time, he blesses them. Vayomer Balak El Bilam. Perak Kaf Gimel Pasuk Kaf Hei. Gam Kov Lo Tikavenu. Gam Barech Lo Tivarchenu. Okay, if you can't curse them, then please don't bless them. Vayan Bilam Vayomer. Halo Dibarti Elecha Lemor. I told you, Kol Asher Yedaber Hashem Oso Eseh. Meaning, Bilam is saying here, I never came to mislead you. I'm an honest person. I told you, I can only do what God said I can do. Right. Third time. It's so interesting to me that Bilam is insisting on it. Like, what is Balak's implication? What's Balak saying to him?
You gave me the impression.
Balak's saying, you're cheating me. I hired you to do a job, and you're not doing the job. And what is Bilam saying?
I told you.
Wait a second. I wrote on the contract. When I signed the contract, I signed, there's a little star. See on the star, on the bottom of the star, it says, no express commitments will be made for any curses, only that which God... Did you read the contract? That's what it said. Third time.
And even so, and Balak, that was the third time. But
no, that was
the second time.
Really?
I think so.
No, third time.
Because the next one is Matovo.
Right, that's the third time. Okay.
It's not the fourth time.
No. Okay. Parak Chaf Dalid, Pasuk, Yud, Kasuk Yud.
But Balak keeps saying to him, Madiber Hashem. So Balak...
What does Balak want?
No.
What does Balak want? It's so interesting. Can't you just curse them?
There's also an element.
Can't you just like?
Balak doesn't want to take them on.
Figure something out, Bilam. Like, really, is it so hard? Like, build the mizbeach, and God will come to me, and then the Spirit of God. Many people do think it's smoke and mirrors.
Okay.
Make something up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so hard to come up with a curse.
Because on one hand, though, that he feels that way, it seems like he's not taking these things seriously. But on the other hand, he's taking it seriously enough that he's onto all this effort to get Bilam to come and do the whole thing. So he obviously does, on one hand, believe in it, but on the other hand...
No, I don't mean that. I mean Bilam. Like, it's so important that Bilam, he won't inauthentically curse them.
No, he won't.
Why not?
Because he's professional
It's just really, he's worried about his bona fides as a professional navvy.
Well, what if the curse doesn't come to be? He knows it won't.
What's a curse?
Motivated.
What?
He doesn't have control.
You were in love with Bilam,
no,
really,
I'm not
seriously.
In love with Bilam, but he does feel loyalty to God. He does.
He's
feel,
a nubby.
He's a nubby.
We're gonna wait.
It.
Wait.
Yeah, he's not a.
Wait. Vayicharav Balak el Bilam. Vayispok et kapav. Balak is really married. Vayispok et kapav.
What does that mean?
Damn it! you can't take it anymore. Vayomer Balak el Bilam. Vayikarashicha. I called you to curse my enemy. Nei berachta barech zesh alosh pa'amim. Three times. How much? Vata barach lecha al mekomecha. Go home. Run home. Amarti chabed chabedcha. Vinei menacha Hashem mikavod. I said I would give you honor. And God has withheld honor from you. Vayomer Bilam el Balak.
That seems to be dripping with sarcasm. He doesn't believe that Bilam is really saying of God.
I don't know. Oh, you mean God. Now God held you back from kavod.
Yeah. I don't know.
How many prophets are there until now? Like, other than Moshe.
Because I'll say there's a lot of prophets. There's one prophet of the non-Jews. Bilam is like, he's there, according to Chazal, in order for that the nation shouldn't say, well, you didn't give us an opportunity, you didn't give us a prophet. That's what Chazal say. I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how many. Anyway, well, let's read on the psukim.
Do we see other people talking to Hashem other than Moshe and Bilam up until now?
Aaron is a Navi, Miriam is a Navi, Aaron, Miriam are Navi, Abraham, Abinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, all the Navi. Right. Sure.
This is
the only one we know about. It's the only one we know about. Nevuah, like the best of my understanding, it's a process of spiritual growth. Like according to the Rambam, you can achieve Ruach HaKodesh if you become spiritual enough. And then you can be blessed with Nevuah. Nevuah is then, as the Hashrat HaShechina. But you can achieve some sort of level of it if you grow enough, if a person develops
spiritual. Yeah, but you have to get rid of this haughtiness.
That's
the basic.
Your guys, they told me, I said, imiten li balak malo beto kesef zahav. If you give me your whole house, the whole thing, lo chala avor et pi Hashem la'asot tova ura'a milibi. Asher yidaber Hashem oto adaber. I'm an honest guy. I said at the very beginning, Asher yidaber Hashem oto adaber.
He doesn't say tova ura'a.
Okay. That which God says, that's what I'm going to say. Nothing more, nothing less. Like, Bilam, it's really important to him, it seems, to say, I'm a truthful person. I'm an honest person. So that which God is going to say, that I'm going to say. I can't say anything more or anything less. Right? He says it like, and the reason I wanted to go through this is he says it over and over again. He says it over and over again, that I'm an honest person. I'm a truthful person. Now, v'ata hineni holech la'ami, I'm going to go home. I'm going to give you a prophecy about what this nation is going to do to you. Look at Unklus on Lecha'i Atzecha. Look at Unklus right here, because Chazal read in here something very important. Uke'an, now, Ha'ana Azer L'ami. Right. Ita, I will, Amalichina Matedabed. I'm going to give you advice what you should do. And I'm also going to tell you what this nation is going to do. Okay, he adds in a phrase. I'm going to tell you what to do. What did he tell him?
Well, Rashi takes that same.
Right. What did he tell him?
To send the
B'not Moab. What? L'cha i'atzecha, Rashi. Ma la'asot. What should you do? Umahi aitza. Elohim she'elu sonei zimahu. Their God hates sexual impropriety. Kedi'ika b'chelek.
It says in the Gemara.
But the Gemara is based on?
This Mishnah.
No, the Gemara is based on a pasuk. Okay? Ma yatzecha Bil'am. There are the psukim explicitly in the Tanakh that Bil'am gave, God, you should know what Bil'am advised. Like it's part of the Jewish Mesorah that Bil'am advised Balak, he said, you can't beat them with cursing. You're barking up the wrong tree. Right? The way to get them is to get them to sin. Right? It's like, how do you beat the Jews? You don't beat them by beating them down. You beat them by being nice to them. And then they'll just go away on their own. Like that's our yeah, it's our history.
You beat them with love.
Not leaving them alone. You beat them with love. That's what you do. It's very easy. Sadly for us, the non-Jews of the world are never satisfied with that, and that always turns into hatred. But we're not there yet. Okay, that's how you beat the Jews. That's what Bilaam told them, and that's true. So I have to ask. Bilaam, he says over and over again, at least the way I've described him, he's a person of truth. Person of truth. I'm an honest person. I told you originally, I'm not gonna lie to you. I told you originally, I'm not gonna lie to you. Okay, so that seems to be very laudable. Why then does the Mishnah we learn call him Anshei Damim Umirma, person of blood and deceit? The answer, I believe, is in a Ramban. Okay. Go back to Perek Kapet, Pasuk Kap Aleph. 32, chapter 22, Pasuk Kap Aleph. I think it's Kap Aleph. Yeah. Yes, Kap Aleph. Second time, he sends the bigger ministers, right? And then God says, "Im likro lecha ba'u anav, if they called, kum lechitam, va'achat davar asher adaber elecha oto ta'aseh. Vayakam Bilaam ba'boker." See where I am? Perakap bet, pasuk kaf aleph. Perakap bet was aleph. Bilaam got up in the morning, vayachavosh et atono. He saddled his donkey. That's the second allusion to Avram Avinu, the Chazal see, right? Because Avram got up in the morning and also saddled his donkey to do what? Akedah Yitzchak. Okay. Vayelech im sarei Moab, chabet vayicharaf Elohim ki olechu.
God got mad.
And the obvious question is?
What?
Why?
Told him he could go.
Yeah, you told him you could go. Why are you mad? So there's you can, okay, Rina will at some point give a whole shiur on all the different opinions of why he got mad. I'm going to skip to Ramban. Okay, the Ramban is on Pasuk Kaf, but the essence of the Ramban is at the beginning of, like, there's a whole, like, little essay. If you see the Ramban on Pasuk Kaf, he writes a bunch of paragraphs. I'm going to start where he says, V'hanachon be'inai, because the Ramban, what he does sometimes is, he'll go through all the different opinions and tell you why he thinks they're wrong. Okay, so we're going to skip those. Nachon be'enai. See where I am? Do you have it? Nachon be'enai is the next page. Right there, I think. See? Mm-hmm. You see it? Shira, did you find it?
No, sure. It's okay. Go ahead.
Which pasuk?
Ramban and pasuk kaf. Mm-hmm. Okay? You have to skip a little bit down. You have to, I don't like in each different version. Mm-hmm. And it starts with Nachon be'enai. There's like, I don't know, 10 or 20 lines. I don't know, it depends on how it's printed for you. Okay. V'hanachon be'enai be'inyan hazeh. My opinion in this matter is, mitchila man'o Hashem shelo yikalel et ha'am, ki baruchu. God prevented him from going so that he shouldn't curse the nation, for they're blessed. V'lama yelech imahem acharei shelo yikalelem. Why should he go if you can't curse them? They don't want him for anything else. They want him to curse. That's why God said, don't go. And we know that Bilaam told them the word of God. Balak didn't believe a word he said, and he sent another message. And he offered him a lot of honor and better ministers. And he promised to pay him a lot of money and a lot of honor. Bilaam said, he did what's appropriate. Okay, so Bilaam said, I can't go, Hashem won't let me. Okay? And then he said again, I wanna go, and the ministers came. I want to skip a little bit. Okay. I'm skipping to the next paragraph. He says, Vine Hayaim Bilaam, Lagid Kane Sare Balak Vilomar, he should have said, Hine hirsha Hashem oti liyot kare lachem bilvad. God said, I can come to you, I can come. Aval amanat shelo lekalel et ha'am.
But I'm not allowed.
I'm not allowed to curse them. But you should know that if God wants me to bless them, I will bless them. V'im lo yitratzu bechach, yumanichim oto. And if they don't want that, they would leave him alone. Ki gam bepam hazot hasheni amar balak, ulechana kavali et ha'am hazeh. Right. Please curse for me this nation. Lo yachpot bo lehodio atidot, v'lo davar acher. Zulati lakov etam. He didn't want to know the future, didn't want anything. Why does he want Bilam to come?
To curse.
V'hinei Bilam meiroch chetzo lalechet, lo hodiein v'lo amar lehem klum. And so what did he do?
So he omitted the important part.
Correct. Remember we spoke at the very beginning. What?
He didn't say all the things that Rav said he should have said.
Correct. He left out the most important part. I.e., what's so interesting is, Bilam, he keeps saying over and over again, I told you this, I was upfront from the beginning, I told you this, don't consider, right? Yes, you did. Except you left out the larger truth. Right? You can be a person of small truths, but in the larger sense, be a person of total falsehood and lies. And the opposite is true as well. You can be a person of small falsehoods, but in the end, be a person of larger truth. And what Chazal is saying, I think, is that Bilam, in his desire for kavod and seeing the negative and whatever, all he could see was, like, no, I tell the truth. I'm a person of the truth. I'm a person of the truth. I'm a good person. But he wouldn't allow himself, or he wasn't honest about, is, but what's the larger message? What's you know what I'm saying? I think there's a forest and a trees thing here, that Bilam is so entrenched in the truth of the trees that he doesn't really concern himself with the larger forest of, my whole being here is a lie.
Right.
My whole mission here is based on falsehood. So I was thinking, we brought up Trump before. What's so interesting is, like, the media, I brought up Trump, and you said, like the media, he lies all the time. He lies all the time. He just bald-faced, like, says things that are just not true. And everybody knows it. So how is it that people still vote for him? How is it people still support him? Much more than the media wants, like, oh, he's so terrible, everybody hates him. But they still support, how is it possible? And the answer, I think, is this idea. They believe that he's speaking a larger truth. That even if he's lying about this thing or that media person, like, they don't like him per se, but he's the only one that would get up and say something and speak to a larger truth that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that on the other side, the country felt, America felt, that on the other side, you have all these people that you know what I'm saying? They'll say smaller truths, but they won't talk about the larger lie. Mm-hmm. You know? There are these people that hate us. There are these people that want to kill us. You know what I'm saying? Which is more important, the small truths or the larger truth? The big thing or the small thing? Our job, of course, is to be Anshei Emet. Anshei Emet in both senses. In the sense of Emet in the small things, but also Emet in the larger things. And that's, I think, why, and I mentioned, like, all these things, like Rav Mertzvah talks about. Like, your job isn't, like, it doesn't work that way. Can I lie about this? Is the coffee half full or the coffee half empty? Right, your job is to advance the larger cause of Emet. Sometimes it is justified to do Sheker in the name of Emet. But you always have to ask yourself, this is the question, am I a person of Emet? Am I a person of truth? And in order to be a person of truth, sometimes you have to be Meshaker. Like you said, that's the Shiduchim, the classic thing of Shiduchim. Right? No, you don't have to say she's got a mole on her nose, because he won't go out with her if she has a mole on her nose. But she's a wonderful young woman. She's wonderful. And everybody who meets her is, like, enthralled with her. But if she never gets the first date, nobody would ever know. So you don't mention it. Why? Because the larger truth is there.
That idea has been taken in the wrong direction. 100%.
100%.
In the name of Lashon Hara, you can't say things.
That he's bipolar.
Right. Yeah. In fact, you have an obligation.
That's why I said the thing that I said very carefully. We have to be people of Emet, people of truth. And you know what I'm saying? And if you're misleading someone about something that they have to know, that's not Emet. That's why I think these halachot sort of bother me. You can't write it down on Shulchan Aruch. You can't list. There's no list. It doesn't exist. Because it's in here. What truth do we have? And people who say, I'm an honest and always tell the truth, etc., etc. It's not true. It's impossible. Because that's the it's a give and take in the lives that we lead. And I think that's what that I think that's why this pasuk anshei damim u'mirma, people of blood and falsehood, lo yechatzu yemeihem, those are the students of Bilam, because they're the most dangerous. The people that speak in the name of truth, but speak towards a larger falsehood. Right? In the end, why did he go? He wanted to destroy the Jewish people. He hated the Jewish people for whatever reason. He wanted to curse them. And he didn't want to tell Balaam that. He didn't want to tell Balak that. Right? And when you speak tiny truths in the name of a larger falsehood, that's the most dangerous thing of all. That's my message. We'll stop here.